What if intelligence isn't something you're born with, but something you build?
A toddler stacking blocks isn't just playing. They're constructing the mental architecture that will one day solve calculus problems or contemplate justice.
Jean Piaget spent decades watching children, not to measure their IQ, but to understand how minds actually develop.
His radical insight?
Intelligence evolves through predictable stages, each building on the last, transforming chaotic sensory experiences into sophisticated abstract thought.
Think of intelligence as a conversation between you and the world, a constant dance of give and take.
Piaget saw intelligence not as a fixed trait measured by tests, but as the ultimate form of adaptation, the mind's way of achieving equilibrium with its environment.
Every time you encounter something new, two processes kick in simultaneously: assimilation, fitting new information into what you already know, and accommodation, changing your understanding to fit new realities.
When you first tried using a smartphone after years with flip phones, you assimilated some familiar concepts but had to accommodate entirely new ways of interacting with technology.
This balance operates on two inseparable dimensions. The affective dimension, your emotions, curiosity, frustration, provides the energy.
The cognitive dimension, your understanding, reasoning, categorization, provides the structure.
You can't reason without feeling, nor feel without some level of understanding.
A child excited by a new toy experiences curiosity, affective, while simultaneously figuring out how it works, cognitive.
These aren't separate processes, but two sides of the same coin.
This isn't just theory. It's changed how we teach, parent, and understand ourselves.
At intelligence's core lies what Piaget called operations, mental actions that transform reality and thought. The crucial insight: operations never exist in isolation. You can't understand greater than without less than and equal to. Numbers only make sense within number systems. Classifications require entire frameworks of categories. These operational systems follow strict laws of equilibrium. Piaget identified five essential conditions. Combinability: any two elements can combine to create something new. Reversibility: every operation can be undone, arguably intelligence's defining characteristic. Associativity: different paths can reach the same conclusion. Identity: an operation combined with its opposite cancels out. And tautology: in qualitative thinking, repetition doesn't transform. You can recognize operational thinking by a telltale sign: conservation. A child with operational intelligence knows that pouring juice from a short, wide glass into a tall, narrow one doesn't change the amount. This understanding reveals their thinking has achieved reversibility. They can mentally reverse the pouring action.
What makes human intelligence special isn't just that we adapt, but how. Unlike physical adaptation, psychological adaptation works across vast distances in space and time. You can think about yesterday, plan for next year, or contemplate hypothetical scenarios. Intelligence frees us from the immediate here and now, a capacity that reaches its peak when we can assimilate all reality into our understanding while accommodating our thinking to fit that reality.
Intelligence develops through distinct stages, each transforming what came before. The journey begins with sensory motor intelligence, from birth to roughly age 2. Newborns start with simple reflexes, sucking, grasping, that gradually become more efficient. A baby learns their thumb tastes different from a pacifier, that shaking produces rattling sounds, that dropping things makes them disappear. Seeing and moving aren't separate, they're intertwined from the start, in what Piaget called sensory motor schemata. Around 8 to 10 months, something remarkable happens. Babies begin coordinating different actions as means and ends. They'll push aside a blanket to grab a hidden toy, demonstrating they've decided on a goal before determining how to achieve it. By their second year, children show sudden insights, immediately understanding a stick could retrieve a distant object. These aha moments reveal that sensory motor patterns have become mobile enough to coordinate internally, marking the dawn of mental representation. Consider how infants construct object permanence,
understanding that things exist even when you can't see them. When a toy moves behind a screen, a 6-month-old will look back toward where it started rather than searching beyond the screen. Out of sight literally means out of mind.
The transition to conceptual thought requires rebuilding everything on a new plane. 3 conditions enable this transformation: increased speed, allowing simultaneous grasp of sequential actions, awareness of how actions work, not just their results, and expanded distance, enabling symbolic actions beyond immediate space and time.
Perception and intelligence are cousins, not twins. Perception gives immediate knowledge. You see a red apple. Intelligence operates when detours are required. You deduce the apple is ripe because red apples usually are. Gestalt psychologists showed perception naturally organizes into meaningful wholes. Even a single dot appears as figure against ground. Your mind automatically structures what you see. The crucial difference: perceptual structures never achieve true reversibility. Optical illusions create new equilibria with each viewing rather than maintaining mobile permanent equilibrium. Intelligence achieves genuine reversibility. You can mentally pour juice back and forth between glasses, knowing the amount stays constant. Language acquisition triggers the next revolution, pre-operational thought, roughly ages 2 to 7. Children can now represent reality symbolically. A stick becomes a sword. A box becomes a car. Mental imagery isn't sensory residue, but active internal imitation, a copy you construct rather than a photograph you store.
Around age 4, children use intuitive reasoning, thinking that feels logical but remains controlled by perception. Pour identical amounts of water into differently shaped containers, and 4-year-olds confidently declare the quantities have changed. The taller glass has more because it's higher. They're centering attention on single dimensions rather than coordinating height and width simultaneously. Systematic errors revealing how intuitive thought prepares the ground for operational thinking.
Around age 7 or 8, concrete operational thought emerges. Children suddenly grasp conservation. That clay snake has the same amount as the ball. They can classify objects systematically, arrange items in order, and perform mental operations, but only with concrete objects they can perceive directly. Ask them to solve, if A is greater than B and B is greater than C, what's the relationship between A and C with abstract letters, and they struggle. This transition marks when rigid intuitive structures become mobile systems. Children suddenly get it. The water's amount stays constant regardless of container shape. They can explain why. You didn't add or take away any, or you could pour it back and it would be the same. This equilibrium emerges when actions become combinable, reversible, and associative, when thinking achieves complete decentralization from egocentric perception to systematic logic. These operations enable classification, seriation, and numerical thinking, but crucially, these remain concrete operations tied to tangible objects. The child must overcome intellectual egocentricity just as they previously overcame sensory-motor egocentricity, constructing an objective world of stable logical relations.
Around 11 or 12, formal operations emerge. Adolescents transcend immediate reality, constructing theories about hypothetical scenarios, contemplating infinity, justice, theoretical possibilities untethered from physical experience. This enables hypothetico-deductive reasoning, working with assumptions having no experiential basis, following purely logical inference. If all Martians are purple, and Zorg is a Martian, then Zorg is purple. An adolescent solves this without meeting Zorg or verifying Martian existence. Formal thought introduces second-degree operations, performing mental operations on other operations, rather than directly on reality. This metacognitive capability allows analyzing one's own thinking and considering multiple perspectives simultaneously. You understand that different cultural viewpoints interpret situations differently, or that your current beliefs might be wrong. Each developmental level coordinates elements from previous stages while introducing new differentiations. Formal schemas operate on concrete groupings themselves, creating sophisticated logical structures, handling pure abstraction. This second-degree thinking liberates intelligence from immediate reality, enabling the sophisticated abstract thought characterizing mature human intelligence.
Society shapes individual development as profoundly as the physical environment, modifying thought through language, interaction, and imposed rules.
Young children oscillate between egocentric distortion and passive acceptance, assimilating information to fit their understanding, while remaining susceptible to suggestions they transform through their limited perspective. Genuine logical thought brings crucial social characteristics. Cooperation, involving reciprocity between individuals who can differentiate viewpoints, and acceptance of common rules, a morality of thinking, prohibiting contradiction and requiring verification. Through constant interchange with others, we develop the ability to coordinate different viewpoints internally and maintain stable concept meanings. Intelligence unfolds as a magnificent progression from chaos to order, from rhythms to regulations to groupings. Rhythms characterize the junction between organic and mental life, reflexes, instincts, elementary perception. Regulations emerge when accommodation differentiates from assimilation, integrating elementary rhythms into larger systems. Operational groupings represent the final equilibrium, achieving complete reversibility with remarkable flexibility.
Piaget's revolutionary insight: intelligence isn't static, but dynamic, not inherited, but constructed, not individual, but social. Intelligence isn't something you have, it's something you do, constantly constructing and reconstructing your understanding through interaction with the world. The question isn't whether you're intelligent, but how you're actively building your intelligence right now.